Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
You ain't my bitch.
Okay.
Score evenings, weeknights 6 till 9.
Chris Ranji in tonight. Good to have you along for the ride. With you until 9, as you heard the big voice guy there say. We continue to talk Cubs and Bears. The Bears getting ready for a game against Dallas this Sunday. Looking for win number one on the season, and it is time to go to the Circa Resort hotline right now. Circa Sports Illinois, download the Circa Sports app today. We've got Mark Grody, part of the midday show here on The Score. Also, he covers the Bears for 670 The Score, and Grotes is with us now. And I should probably, I left out the best part. He is an Illinois State Redbird. In fact, he is a number fourth ranked Illinois State Redbird, number four in the country. Grody, what do you think of that? Our football team is number four in the FCS poll.
Oh, that's pretty fantastic. So the Redbirds overcame the loss to whom? Was it Oklahoma?
Oklahoma.
Yeah,
they lost to Oklahoma. Yeah, they got stomped. But they were going to lose to Oklahoma.
Yeah, it's just cool. Like, we're one of those schools where, hey, we're just happy to play teams like Oklahoma. Oklahoma, we're happy that you engaged us. It was great. Thank you very much. You gave us what we deserved, a good beating, but you played us, and that's all that matters to us. But that's cool. I didn't know we were fourth. That's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Behind the obvious North Dakota State and South Dakota State. For some reason, the Dakotas are really good at FCS football. And right behind the powerhouse Tarleton State, which I just learned existed.
Tarleton State, did you say?
Tarleton. Tarleton, T-A-R-L-E-T-O-N. Tarleton State. Or Tarleton State?
Do you remember, you know, this is bad, but, and this is probably something that, actually it was, the last time I, at ISU, I remember actually going to a party at Western Illinois. I went to go see some friends at Western, and for some reason, we were smoking Carlton cigarettes, whose slogan was, if you smoke, please try Carlton. And they were like the low-tar, low-nicotine, no-nothing cigarette made perfectly for people who just drink or just smoke when they are drinking, because they're like nothing cigarettes.
Well, that's who this school is all about. This is Carlton State. They're okay. And they're number three in the FCS. All right. So speaking of bad, Grody, so far it's been mostly that for the Bears at 0-2. And it's I think if you really look at it, you can find some things to feel encouraged about, little nuggets here and there. But it feels like mostly crap. It feels like mostly crap with some nuggets sprinkled in. Do you see it differently right now?
No. And here's the problem with 0-2, Chris. I did pick the Bears to start the season 0-2. I thought that Minnesota, like, we're actually going through my picks, I thought Minnesota beat the Bears by 3, which they ultimately did. I picked the Lions to beat the Bears 27-17. However, I did not pick these to be catastrophic losses. That's the problem. I mean, we are all here to be patient to some degree with Ben Johnson and all the disclaimers that we put on during training camp, that Caleb and the offense is a new offense. You have a new defense and new defensive coordinator. You have new personnel on the defensive side of the ball. You have three new interior offensive linemen. Nobody should have expected that this was just going to gel overnight. But I think that it's okay for us to have expected that you wouldn't get embarrassed on opening night against a, not a rookie quarterback, but a quarterback in J.J. McCarthy making his NFL debut, and to blow a 17-6 lead. They choked away that lead, and then 52-21 against the Detroit Lions, and all of the various things that, I know that you've been talking about throughout the night that went wrong in that game. And there was enough, honestly, in the loss to the Lions, like it felt like that, was worth three losses. That's the way it felt. And hopefully it hasn't put the Bears on track to continue to lose and spiral. Not to mention, Chris, and then I'll shut up and let you actually ask some more questions. They lost 10 in a row at one point last year. That sticks with fans, and understandably, and that probably should be in the heads of the guys in the locker room as well.
And I'm with you. It's not the 0-2. It's how it looks. It's how the 0-2 looks. And it feels, just by watching, that they have made absolutely no progress whatsoever. In fact, it looks like they've gone backwards.
For the most part, yeah. I mean, like, I have my little Bears chart out here, and I put, like, the good things that happened in the game, like in the Lions game, I put that in orange, and the only orange that I'm seeing, there's only two orange spots that I'm seeing on my plate right now, and that is the Bears' first drive. And if we want to do that, we can go back to the first drive of the Minnesota game. But the first drive of the Lions game was excellent. And, you know, a 3rd-and-9 touchdown pass to Roma Dunze. And along the way, you hit the Keys for a 3rd-and-4. DeAndre Swift had a 20-yard run. Like, it was a really excellent, well-scripted drive. And then the second quarter, Caleb Williams, 6-yard touchdown pass to Roma Dunze that made it, that Bears were in the game. It was 21-14. Believe it or not, that's the amazing part. At halftime, this game started to get away from the Bears, and with some weird stuff that happened, obviously, with putting the time back on the clock and allowing Detroit to score again. But yeah, that second quarter drive, again, a 21-yard pass to Odunze, an 8-yarder to Kyle Manungai. Caleb had an 8-yard rush. Like, it was looking good. And then, you know, I got the bad is the red that I have all over the place, and I'm not going to go through all the red, but one of the worst parts, as long as I'm in the second quarter leading into the third quarter, it's 2 weeks in a row where you defer to begin the game, which I like, because sometimes you get the 2-for-1, and 2 weeks in a row, the Bears have had a chance to either put a game away or really put a signature on it in the Minnesota game, and you had a chance to get back in the game in the third quarter. But no, it was a 3-and-out. The first play, a false start by DeAndre Swift. If the Bears score in that third quarter, if they put together a nice tight drive like they did to start the game, it's a 28-21 game in the third quarter, and things are different. That's how thin the margin can be when you blow opportunities like having the ball to start the third quarter.
I saved this note, and maybe you've seen it and talked about it already in the last couple of days. And it's occurring to me now, and I cannot find the note, but it was something like the Bears in the second half to their first drives in the second half this season, 6 total plays and 1 yard.
I haven't seen that, but that sounds great to me.
I can't take credit for it. I cannot remember, and I apologize if you're the one who pointed this out. I apologize. You're not getting the proper credit because I can't find where I wrote that down or where I found the note. But that is astounding.
It's astounding, and it's almost like, is this opportunity cost? Like, the Bears have seemingly, at least through two games, as we keep it all in perspective, they've gotten it down on that first drive, and that's huge too. Like, last year, one of the biggest problems with the Bears offense was those first drives, that they were just tripping over themselves and everything was bad. 2 weeks in a row, they've had really excellent first drives. So problem solved. And then it's like, uh-oh, another problem has arrived. And that is the first drive of the third quarter, which you have to take advantage of. And it doesn't seem right, especially with a Ben Johnson play called offense, to be in the locker room, to everybody take a deep breath, to really look and be able to adjust and all of that. And then you come out in the third quarter. So it's pretty baffling to me that they haven't been able to figure things out. But I guess, like, in the case, I'd have to go back and look at the specifics. I don't have that in front of me in the Minnesota game, but I guess when you start the third quarter with a false start, that's going to set you back. And we've seen, like, Caleb Williams has not at the point yet where he can overcome the long second and down, the long third down, with the example being the in the second quarter of the Lions game where it's second and 32 and Caleb does a great job of eluding pressure, but instead of throwing it away, he gets picked off, and I thought he was in between. You know, I thought he was in between like a baseball player when you're kind of in between swings and you're not really confident in what you want to do with it, but he gets intercepted on that play. So you just can't, like, that's the problem with all these pre-snap penalties, and I know some of them might be the fault of Caleb Williams, but he needs a little help from his teammates to not putting him in those positions because he is, again, not yet is he at the point where he can dig the Bears out of a second and 32 or whatever it is.
And yes, against the Minnesota Vikings third quarter, the first series, 3 plays, 0 yards. They had the ball for 32 seconds. In week two, the first series, 3 plays, 1 yard. They held the ball for 1:18. So they have held the ball with their first series coming out of the half for a total of 1:50, 50 seconds. 1:50. And they've got 1 yard.
Yeah, I mean, I'll begrudgingly, I suppose, give credit to the adjustments that both of those teams made, that Minnesota made, and if Detroit felt like they had to make an adjustment, they certainly did. But that is what Minnesota did last week. I mean, there were players in that locker room, DeAndre Swift included, giving credit to the defensive coordinator of the Minnesota Vikings last year for making life difficult for them in a lot of ways. And he was specifically talking about what they were doing against the run game. But when you hear players shouting out other coordinators by name, that would suggest, and these are not DeAndre Swift's words by any means, I'm kind of just inferring or making my own opinion based on what he said, that other teams are doing a better job right now of adjusting to what the Bears are doing.
Mark Grody is with us here on 670 The Score. So looking at the injury report, Jalen Johnson, that's not a good situation. TJ Edwards hurt. You're looking at a really banged up defense already. And with all of these guys out, and if Johnson's out for an extended period of time, how do they even get by? Forget about this Sunday. How do they get by for the rest of the season?
Well, first of all, they got to get better play from Tyreek Stevenson, and he owned it today in the locker room. You know, he admitted he didn't play poorly. He said he put some bad tape out there for the world to see, and you know, he confidently said that he'll be better. So let's just hope that eventually we see a more organized player in Tyreek Stevenson, who, as I always say, has all the talent in the world. It just seems like he, and as he said, even his words that he got, he said his technique was good, everything was good, but he got exploited a little bit too much. But answering the question, like, what are they going to do? I mean, Nashawn Wright, who has been up and down, and he had the interception, but he's also given up some explosives for sure. You know, that's a possibility. I mean, I saw Jalen Jones was on the injury report today too. So that was a guy that I was thinking about, but you know, he's a guy that just squeaked onto the roster at the end, his second go around with the Bears. So that's a guy to think about. You know, Josh Blackwell, who is better on the inside, but you know, you might have to use him and experiment with him as a pure cornerback on the outside as well. So yeah, man, I mean, you are testing your depth. And, you know, the problem is that, you know, like, depth is good for a while, like, but eventually, and I'll use the word again, backups get exposed. If you are, unless you're one of those guys who is like a 1A starter, like Terrell Smith, like he's a guy who, if he was here, I'd feel a lot more comfortable because he's a borderline, at least in my opinion, a borderline starter, but they don't have any other guys like that on the roster. We know they like some of these guys, but there is not a slam dunk solution right now. And we'll see if the Bears, you know, sign somebody on the street, somebody on a practice squad. We'll see. But at this point, it kind of feels like quantity over quality.
Mark, you know, going back to the offense here for a moment, it's not just defense, the defense that's been an issue for the Bears. It's been certainly a lot worse than I expected it to be. This far into the season or just a couple of games in. But now you got an offense that just doesn't, it's not clicking for various reasons. And we spend a lot of time talking about Caleb Williams and what he's doing right or what he's not doing right. Does he see the field well? As you have watched him play in the first couple of weeks, I think you could argue that after that first drive in week one, he hasn't been great. There have been some things that you can build on. Are you confident that we're seeing building blocks from him? We're seeing actual progress, even if it's only incremental?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I wouldn't call it like this huge jump or anything like that. Like, from last year to this year, from game one to game two, it's better. It got better, I thought, between the first game and the second game. I think part of it right now is he is still trying to absorb Ben Johnson's offense. You know, there was this sort of motif out there that Ben Johnson's going to throw it all at Caleb Williams early in training camp. And I think the Bears even said that. So it's not just people making stuff up. They're going to throw a bunch at him. And then we'll see what he's comfortable with. But look, Ben Johnson came here to run his offense. You know, he told my partner on the Take the North podcast, Dan Wiederer, that, and this is big, that Caleb's got to come to me, as in he's got to get to my level. I don't want to, like, dumb it down or take things away. You got to come to me. However, if you watch what they're doing right now, they are simplifying things right now. And again, I don't have a problem with that because you want to win and you want to make this quarterback feel confident. But to say that Ben Johnson is completely running his offense the way he wants to run the offense eventually, maybe in December, as Ben Johnson said today, that's not happening yet.
Yeah, it's, and I wonder if it's going to happen. I feel nervous about what the Bears are right now, especially when I hear, and these are correctable things, I think. I just don't know how long it's going to take. But when you hear Ben Johnson say they're not practicing like a championship team, or, and just paraphrasing that maybe some guys aren't putting in the effort they need to be. And again, that's paraphrasing, but that's the tone I'm getting from him. So it concerns me about the makeup of the roster. How concerned should we be about it?
Well, I absolutely should be concerned. However, the fact that he is catching it now after two games, and guess what? Ben Johnson's got a pretty good place from which to speak when your team loses 52-21. Like, this is a good time for him to say what he said to the collective media today, to be able to say that they're not practicing. They're not putting in, again, like you said, paraphrasing, putting in the proper effort to practice to the level of what a champion could do. That might not have been something he would have felt as empowered to say if that didn't happen. So it's good. It's good that he was able to, he used us today, and I liked it. The media was used today to get a message across, because we're taking that headline as we should, and we're all running with it. Because Chris, and anybody who's a sports fan, anybody who covers sports know that there's nothing more indictable than a team that quits or whose effort is not where it should be. And he's talking about how Detroit, players are talking. Jaquan Brisker is talking about it. How players wanted him more. Now, the good news is this was the first time that we actually got to talk to players after a practice in the open locker room. Typically, we talk to the players, or so far this year, we have talked prior to it. And most of the guys in the locker room, when we had asked about the practice, they're just kind of shaking their heads, smiling, like, yeah, that practice had intent to it. That, and not to mention the fact that it's, sweaty out there. It's a hot day in Lake Forest. So it kind of had, try hard training camp vibes to it. We don't get to see all the practice, just a little window for the first 5 minutes. But most of those guys were like, yeah, that practice was for real. And Ben Johnson is hitting it harder. He is acting differently. You know what I mean? Like, we always hear from Coach, well, we're the same guy every day. No, Ben Johnson was different today, and he comported himself differently. And that's what needs to be done. Is that the elixir? Is that the end all? Is everything going to be solved? Probably not, but at least some guys get a kick in the butt and the message is delivered.
All right. Well, Mark Grody, I am just like the Bears. I'm going to need you to do your job a whole lot better. And I think you will.
Love listening. Chris, I'm trying. I'm trying. Hey, hey. You know I'm trying. Hey. I'm maximum effort, okay?
I know you are, buddy. I love listening to you on the mid.
Will you do me a favor and tell Bruce I said hi? Because this is like, it's kind of like you've been doing a Bears Weekly show tonight, and I love it. I've absolutely loved it. But it's like, I'm sure Bruce is taking exception to all the Bears. I listened to you the whole way home. Like, listen to Cassie, listen to Emma. I mean, it's been fantastic. But for God's sakes, talk to Bruce, will you?
About to talk to Bruce next, and it's funny you bring this up because I was just telling this story to somebody the other day, and I'll bring it up again to him when we have him on here in a few minutes. But I remember being in the clubhouse with Bruce probably a decade ago, and it was in September, first week of the football season, maybe second, and it's a Sunday. Players have NFL pregame on TV in the clubhouse, you know, and Bruce said something like, you know, this is my least favorite time of the year, you know, because this is when the baseball season gets good and everybody in the country is watching this crap instead.
It is not fair. It is not fair.
I know.
But he's right. He's right. But it's like, I get it. I get where he's coming from. And I'm part of the problem, Chris.
You are part of the problem.
Yep. I own it.
And you're
part of the problem.
I love you,
Bruce.
Bye, Mark.
I love you. And I love Bruce. I love Adam Tedzinski. Talk to you. Make sure you give Studs some verbal hugs. You only just got married, right?
I know. I'm gonna ask him about his marriage a little later on in the hour.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm trying to program your show again, Chris. There I go again. I'll talk to you later.
Talk about real baseball, would you? All right. Goodbye.
See ya.
Mark Grody, we are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. When we come back, Bruce Levine on the Cubs. Next, I'm Chris Ranji on the Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Score.
Who's been the best at dumping the champagne?
Me.
liar.
I've done it 3 times in Japan, so I'm pretty good at that.
Seiya Suzuki on Marquee. This was after the Cubs clinched a spot in the playoffs today by beating the Pirates on the road. Chris Ranji tonight until 9 o'clock. On 670 The Score. And with the Cubs clinching a spot in the 2025 postseason, it is sponsored by First Bank Chicago. Your interest is our priority, and every moment of Cubs playoff baseball will be heard on The Score in the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network. So with about a week and a half to play, Cubs are in the playoffs officially. They are a wild card as of right now, and barring some sort of an incredible run here and getting some help from some other teams, that's how they'll go into the playoffs as a wild card. It is time now to go to the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline because Bruce Levine is with us. CircaLasVegas.com. Bruce Levine, well, finally, we've got another playoff team here in Chicago.
Yeah, and Seiya Suzuki wasn't in that soundbite because he doesn't speak English.
Well, I mean, his interpreter's there.
It was, is that him. Who it was?
There was a distraction there.
Are you sure? You sure that was Suzuki's guy?
That's what I am told. That's what
okay.
I'm told
well,
by production.
Adam Stadinsky is the best in the business, so I'm going with Adam on that. Okay.
Okay. So it's Adam. Thanks, Bruce. Thanks for helping.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's a damn
you,
good thing.
Look, you asked me on the show, you know I'm a problem. So, you know, that's how it's going to start.
Hey, I've known this for how many years?
I don't know. 25? I don't know.
Feels like it. So yeah, I don't know if you heard me talking to Grody right at the end there, but and I know I've brought this up to you in the past, but it's appropriate today just because, you know, the Cubs clinch, they're in the playoffs, and you and I were having that conversation in the White Sox clubhouse, I don't know, 12 years ago probably, and football was on. It was a Sunday. Football is on in the clubhouse. Guys are watching pregame programming, and you're standing next to me, and you go, this is the worst. This is the worst part of the year because the baseball is just getting good, and now everybody's watching the NFL. All the attention goes to the NFL, and at the time I was like, you know what? You're right. It does suck because September baseball is great.
Guess what, Chris? The MLB owners did something about that. Between now and the 12 years ago we were talking, they've added a couple layers to the playoff package so that teams like in Cincinnati and Kansas City and Cleveland right now that would be talking only NFL have teams that are on the very fringe of making it as a wild card, and there's still interest. So bravo to MLB for doing that. But look, you're never going to take away the popularity of NFL. I mean, that's another universe unto itself. So I guess I can complain all I want, but I do feel always that baseball, when it's at its best and it's shining, is put a little bit in the cupboard because the NFL has started.
There's a lot of things to talk about with how the Cubs will approach the postseason once it finally starts for them. And I want to get to some individuals. First, I want to start with Kyle Tucker, though, because we got the news earlier that he went to Tampa to get a second opinion on that calf. What do we know about that? And, you know, we know that they want him to play next week if he's good to go so that, you know, they can get him some reps before the playoffs start. But how concerned should Cubs fans be about his status?
Well, he hasn't played for 2 weeks. So he hurt his calf over 2 weeks ago now, and he hasn't played a game. It's gotten marginally better, not good enough to go out there and play every day. So he went to Tampa where he did his rehab from last year on his shin that was fractured and that had to be repaired, and came back at the same physical therapy place that he's going to now. And one of the Cub trainers is going along with him as a part of the rehab crew to see if they can get him in better condition and ready more swiftly for either next week or, more importantly, for the following week when the playoffs start. And that's the story with Tucker, who injured his calf and hasn't been right enough to be able to go out there and play every day. So with a calf muscle, you know, it's not like as simple as, well, you can DH with a bad calf. No, you can't really dig in. You can't plant and swing your whole body around unless your calf is functioning. So he has to get very close to 100% to be able to play for them and to be able to be the type of player that he wants to be. That's problem number one. Problem number two is he will not have played for at least 3 weeks. Let's say he comes back from this trip that he took today on Tuesday when the Cubs return home for their last six games. That'll be 3 weeks that he hasn't played. So he's going to have to get back into condition of being able to run, being able to swing the bat, being able to throw, just all the things that baseball players have to do. We don't know how long that's going to take. So this is, you know, I think it's a move that Craig Counsell said today was what Tucker wanted to do, and they're going along with it. There you have it.
Yeah, and so hopefully something happens, because hearing that, and I believe the word they used was plateaued, that injury had just gotten to a point where it wasn't getting worse, but it wasn't getting any better.
Right.
That's pretty discouraging, and you hope something can be figured out between now and then. But how worried do you think they are about it?
I don't think they're worried. I think they're concerned that he won't be able to be a factor for them the rest of the year. worried it's probably not the, and again, you know, the old next man up, you know, we get tired of hearing it in sports, but that's the case. I mean, you know, the next man up right now is, you know, guys who were cold and are trying to get hot again, like Pete Crow Armstrong, like Suzuki, guys that had sensational first halves that have been terrible, you know, as far as their offense goes in the last 2 months of the season. So from that, it's that way. And then you have, you know, you have younger guys that you can turn to that might help you as well. So, you know, you're looking at the Cubs evolving and trying different things out to maintain the ability to score 5 to 6 runs a game. That is the winning number in baseball. 4 is marginal. 5 is you're winning most of the time. 6, you probably, if you average 6 for a period of time, you're winning 80% of your games. So with that in mind, you know, the offense is picking up a little bit. I think the Cubs are now 24 games over 500 for the first time in 2025. A lot of things to be positive about. Maybe not Matthew Boyd's outing today, but there'll be a lot of fun conversation, Chris, about who's starting game 1, game 2 in the playoffs, if the Cubs are going to hold on here and get all 3 wild card games at home, having the best wild card record. Still a lot of things to figure out here the last 10 days or so.
Yeah, Boyd is exactly where I was going to go next, because from March through July, there were hardly many starters in baseball as, you know, as good as him. I mean, he was pitching really well. And then you get to August and, you know, the month of September, it just has been completely different. And granted, he has thrown more innings this year than he has in several years. I mean, he's over that 170 innings.
6 years.
Yeah, I mean, that's a long time that he's not been at this point. So what happens his next regular season start? Do they skip it? Do they limit his workload? What do they do?
Yeah, so that's a great question, and it'll probably be next Tuesday, okay? They've already named 4 starters that aren't Boyd for the series with Cincinnati, and then they're off next Monday. So that brings them to next Tuesday. That would be the time you would expect Boyd to have an extra day off. He'll have 6 days off before he starts, and then you hope that that's enough time to rest, get some mechanical things straightened out, and hopefully, you use the word plateau, that he hasn't plateaued because of so many innings that he's pitched, and he hadn't pitched over 100 innings since 2019. So this is at 174 or somewhere around there. It could be an innings load issue, and they're going to have to figure out what's best, rest or rust, to figure out when is he going to start. Is he the game 1 opener? Is he game 2? You know, are you going with the hot Cade Horton in game 1 and 2? One of those 3 is not going to start in game 1 and 2. The controversy will begin. If you lose one of those games, you're in an elimination game and the other guy hasn't started. So it's good problems to have for a good Chicago Cub team to figure out what their roster is going to look like, what their rotation is going to look like. And if they continue to play good ball the way they have recently, again, where they've really picked it up and started to gain some momentum.
Any surprises for the playoff roster you might think we're in for?
Billy Hamilton.
Hmm.
Billy Hamilton hasn't played in the major leagues this year. I don't think he did last. As you remember him being a great base stealer back in the day, can still run like the wind. He was signed to a minor league contract by the Cubs in late August, early September. I think it was August 31st. So he's down there for one reason only. Can they afford to carry a speed guy, an extra speed guy, to go in and replace somebody late in the game, steal a base, score a run, and be this year's hero because of his legs? That was the only reason he was signed, and that's the only reason that he may be added to one of the playoff rosters. Now, you know the playoff rosters, every tier you can change your roster. Anybody on the 40-man roster that has been there since August 31st is eligible to play in the playoffs round by round.
Yeah, and so that can change, certainly. But as we look at where the Cubs are, they've got that first wild card spot. And so, you know, there's going to be a series here they have to play before they move on to the next round. How much benefit is there, do you believe, truly benefit to gaining that first wild card? They've got it right now, but hanging on to it, because the likelihood of them overtaking the Brewers in the division is very low. They don't have any games against Milwaukee, so they'd have to rely on a lot of help. So let's just assume they're that first wild card. How important is it to hang on to that?
It's huge. I mean, you get three home games. So if San Diego catches them, and San Diego right now holds a tiebreaker, because the tiebreaker goes this way. Head-to-head, they're tied 3-3. Then it goes to intra-division play, who has the best winning percentage. Right now, San Diego has a little bit of an edge. It's very close, like 600 percentage in the interdivision to 591. So it's very close. But having the three games at home, you know, that should be enormous. Now, it didn't really help the Cubs when they had the first two at home in 2020, yep, and they played the Marlins and lost them both. That was the last time they were in the playoffs. But to have three at home, that type of momentum, really important, rather than, you know, you're either three at home or three in San Diego. That's how it's going to play out. At least we're pretty sure with 10 games left that it's going to be the Cubs in San Diego.
Yeah, it'll be the first time they play in front of their home crowd in the playoffs in, you know, even in a really long time. So you would hope that would make some kind of difference. You always want to have playoff, you know, advantage at home if you can get it. It doesn't always work out in your favor, but still you'd like to have it. Bruce Levine, I appreciate you. I appreciate your reporting, your expertise, your thoughts, your opinions, and you know, your jackassery. All of those things.
Well, let's be honest. You got me on because you didn't have to pay me.
Oh, dude, yeah, of course. You think I'm going to pay you? I have you come on here.
No, there's no chance. Chris, have a great night.
Love you, buddy. He didn't say I love you back. You know what? Call him back and tell him I've had it. That's Bruce Levine covering baseball here in Chicago for 670 The Score. We are rolling toward the end of the show. I do need to hear a little bit about our guy, his, you know, our guy, Adam Studzinski. He did get married, and somehow Mike Ditka's involved with his wedding. I don't know if the actual Ditka was involved, but something involving Mike Ditka. There's a Mike Ditka adjacent story to your wedding that I guess we get to hear about.
Yes,
and we'll do that when we get back. We'll do it. Broadcasting from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Chris Ranji until 9 o'clock with you tonight on The Score.
Listen up, football fans! You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Score evenings, weeknights 6 till 9.
Text message to 312-644-6767 asks me, where's Danks? I don't know. I think he's in Tennessee. Go find him. And if you do find him, tell him I said hello. Another message. Does Patrick Mahomes still send a Thanksgiving card to the Bears organization every year? Just wondering. Are you asking because you think he's grateful they did not draft him, therefore draft him to ruin him? Is that what you're getting at? I don't think that's very nice.
What about
Chris
Ronji
on the floor tonight? Yeah, what about Danks? What about Bob and Niles? I miss Bob and Niles. Adam Studzinski producing the program tonight. I've heard, Adam, and you know who I heard it from, you, that you got married. I heard you got married last weekend.
First of all,
congratulations, big boy.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
How'd you feel about it?
Great. It was great. And okay. So, you know, I'll say up front that the idea of marriage has never frightened me. So, like, that was not at all an issue. It's super. So, I for anyone out there that's playing a wedding,
terrifies me.
That's you. And, it's never bothered me. The idea of marriage never bothered me. I don't know why. But the pain in the ass is the actual planning. So, anyone that tells you that planning a wedding is not stressful is obviously did not plan a wedding because it's crazy. But the whole thing, once we got everything lined up, everything went great. It was a ton of fun. And I told one of my buddies when the reception was starting, I was going to try and drink all the bourbon in the city. And I really gave it a try. But I didn't quite get there. So I felt like I gave it a good try the next morning, though.
Okay. What do you mean the next morning?
Well, the next morning when I woke up, I felt like, you know, I felt like I tried to drink all the bourbon.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you woke up and grabbed the bottle. And I was going to say, dude, that's a problem. What you're referencing is a problem.
No, I did not wake up and start drinking bourbon immediately. No, I was fine. Okay. It's not that I didn't drink again the next day in further celebration, but I didn't wake up and start drinking. You know, because wake up and then you got that horrible Bears game. So, you know, then there's, you know, a little bit of trying to forget that with celebrating.
Did you feel like you didn't want to get married the night before the Bears game when we thought the season was going to be good?
No, I mean, that was just whatever. I deliberately cut sports out of my life for 72 hours. So I hadn't even thought about the Bears game until noon on Sunday.
How good did that feel?
Oh, it was so good. It was great.
Oh, my God.
It felt great to not care about any of this. Not that I, you know, obviously I'm in this job for a reason. I love talking about sports, but it was really good to not be dialed in constantly for a few days.
All right, try having a job where you talk a lot about the news.
That's lovely. I can't imagine why that would be brutal in any way, shape, or form in today's world. But Ditka thing.
Yeah, what happened with Mike Ditka?
So my cousin-in-law, so this is my cousin on my dad's side's husband. His name's Ryan. He's awesome. And so he's officiated a bunch of weddings. So we asked him to do it, and he said yes. So he's also a huge Bears fan, and, you know, talking to him about stuff we went in the ceremony, it kind of came down to stuff about the Bears, stuff about the Simpsons, and stuff about pizza. And so he worked in multiple Mike Ditka quotes, which was perfect. So it's extremely stereotypical of myself to have had Mike Ditka quotes in my wedding ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
So it was great.
And so was it vulgar?
No, it wasn't one of the vulgar ones. It wasn't one of his rants or anything like that. That would have been funny, though, if he just got up there and started swearing.
Well, that's what I thought you were going to say.
No,
he was being inappropriate and you had to bleep everything out.
That would have been funny, you know, with my now wife's grandma present and my parents and her parents, aunts, uncles. It would have been great.
Oh, I think they would have loved it.
Oh, yeah.
Next time, have some guts. Have some guts, man. Work blue.
That's
we're
going to
do a wedding. Work blue.
You're going to have Ditka quotes. Make it the one where he's swearing. Yeah, come on.
That's right, buddy. Well, congratulations. I'm happy to hear it. I'm glad that it went well. Congrats to you and the bride. You're going to do great. She has a lovely, lovely husband. And make sure that the next time she yells at you about that, you say, well, no, I have proof that I'm great. Other people think so.
It's right here on the radio. I can go pull the audio.
That's right. Well, thanks a lot, buddy. I appreciate you. And congratulations again.
Thank you.
Adam Studzinski, the newly married. What a guy. He did it. He did it. He pulled the trigger. And we're happy that he did that. We're happy that tonight, Cassie Carlson and Mark Grody, Chris Emma, Bruce Levine all joined the show. Mostly, I'm happy that you joined by calling and texting and listening in. Thank you so much. Not sure when I'll be back with you, but at some point I will. I'm always lurking. I'm always lurking somewhere, ready to jump back on and talk some Chicago sports with you. Thanks for listening, calling, texting, and all that great stuff. I love you. We'll talk to you soon. Chris Ranji on The Score.
Marriage is punishment for shoplifting in some countries.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. PNC's apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.